Bullshit.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
And welcome to this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. And I told you we're going to have a special edition with a good friend of mine, Fausto Puglisi, who is the co-founder and the president of Cyber Trading University. So many of you have asked me about, you know, day trading. What's it all about? How do I do it? How do I break into it? And I got to tell you something, all kidding aside, and I don't know if I've ever told Fausto this, but he is the man. He is the guy that really teaches you not only the disciplines about day trading, but really how to make sure that you don't get hurt. So he's with us today. Fausto, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
So I'd like to go back and talk about some of the history of day trading. You know, tell me about how where you started, because I think it's kind of fascinating.
Well, when I started, there was only about, I would say, about 300 of us, what we used to be called Sills Bandits. And I started back at Castle Securities, which was one of the largest day trading firms that started out. It was them and it was Alltech when it first started out back in the early 90s. And, you know, it just came about where I was a broker and I hated it, being a stockbroker, right. And then trading always attracted me, and then all of a sudden I got introduced to doing something else, because I heard a lot of people making a lot of money in the day trading business, right. And with the called Sills Bandits.
What was the time frame there? What was the time frame of the quote unquote Sills brand?
That was back in 1994.
And why did they call you? So, for those people that don't know about the Sills network, what does that mean, being a Sills Bandit?
It's pretty funny. It was a title that was given to us by market makers. See, what happened back in the early 90s, trading was a private club for the market makers.
Yeah.
That's the super exclusive, and you can't get higher than that.
I mean,
over any CEO or anything. When you're a market maker, I mean, you're like, you know, you're a god in the brokerage industry. And what happened was, with new laws and regulations that came out, they started passing laws where, you know, they found a little loophole that's where, you know, you could be licensed and trade with all these what we call SOS firms. And that's what it was called. It was before it was day trading, it was called SOS.
Right, short order execution service.
Small order execution system. That was a vehicle that was designed to, well, you know, back in 1987, I mean, go back a little bit further in history, back in 1987, if everybody remembers the crash of 87, market makers were not honoring their quotes back then, and a lot of brokerage firms went out of business for it. So NASDAQ had to come out with another execution system that would keep these market makers to honor their quotes.
Right.
And by doing that, they came out with this execution system called SOS. And basically what it does is, and you still have it today, now actually the new word for it is called supermontage. And it's and the symbol on your execution system, on a direct access system, will be SMTG. And what happened was, back then, what this would do is if you hit the SOS button, the SOS would actually execute the market maker, and the market makes the guarantee that if he's on the best bid or best offer, he has to guarantee making a market in that stock for 1,000 shares.
Right.
That's why they said the word small.
So, again, it's all relative for the average investor. 1,000 shares may not be small, but, I mean, it was at the time where you can hit them, and that's when spreads were a lot different than they were today, right?
Right. Back then, they were fractions.
I mean, so the smallest fraction, I mean, you could get eighth, but a quarter was not something that wasn't, improbable, and quite often it was real. And think about it today. I mean, can you imagine if you were set up right now in a system where a quarter was the spread? I mean, how much money could you make trading?
Ridiculous. I mean, that's, you know, not jumping around, going back and forth to where we are today, going back to decimals and fractions. But, I mean, you know, the spreads today are a penny, and
right.
Can go out back then, and if stock just moves one tick, which is one penny, I mean, you make, you know, that was a spread, it was a penny, but then it was an eighth, it's 12 cents. Some of them were a quarter spread, which were 25 cents, and you had to guarantee 1,000 shares, so it just had to move just one tick. And you made yourself $125.
Yeah, it was kind of a license back then for the market makers to print money, as I saw it.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they were making a killing back then.
Right.
So getting back where I came into the play, a lot of these brokerage firms started coming out with called SOS firms, where you actually can have access using the SOS vehicle without legitimately being a market maker. So you can actually become a trader for a SOS firm, and you could trade. And the way they got SOS bandits was guys like myself were using this SOS vehicle to buy and sell stock, and having the same technology and the same execution on the same playing field as they were. I mean, I could. It's like walking the New York Stock Exchange and says, "You don't have to buy a seat. I'm here." You know,
right.
Sorry, that's
amazing.
Cool. And market makers came out with the word called bandit, because the word bandit means thief, and you know, and we were using the SOS vehicle to buy and sell stocks, so they call us thieves because we were using the system to get in and out of stock. So
right, which is what they were doing that for years. They just didn't like you doing it now.
Right, because we came in at we're in that little private club,
right.
And you know, and now it's like, you know, the cat's out of the hat, and it ain't like that. So, but I got into a lot of arguments here in New York.
I'm sure.
You know, I'll be talking to my friends, you know, going out to dinner or having a drink or whatever, and some traders sit next to me and like, "Oh, what firm do you work for?" I'm like, "Blah blah, you know, whatever." They're like, "How'd you trade that stock?" I'm like, "You can't trade." I'm like, "Oh, I sold it." I'm so. Oh,
right.
You supposed to end it? And it was just arguments.
So let's fast forward, because I think what's interesting is that evolved over time, because there's been a lot of changes in the regulation on the NASDAQ primarily, you know, where you have not only back then where you can get in on SOS, but now we have, well, first there was there's INED, and there's Archipelago, and there's, you know, the Bloomberg, and I mean, just all the other platforms that are out there. There's like 10 platforms you could trade on these days, and, you know, trading one stock. But today it makes it a lot easier. And I think that what you do with Cyber Trading University is that, you know, you teach people how to use these platforms. And I'll tell you, everybody out there, that I've actually done a series. I've gone through the beginner, or the novice, if you will, the intermediate and the advanced courses. And it's just a fascinating process, because you have to picture this. You know, what you do is at, I guess, about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, you get to your computer, and Fausto is there on his computer in New York, and he shares his screen with you over the internet. And you're watching him actually trade and talk through trades live. And what he's doing, you know, at first I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this guy's trading live. He's going to, what if he loses all this money right in front of everybody? But what's great is when you watch it for a while, you understand why he manages risk and all. And I just think that the process of learning how to trade, because, you know, one of the things I think, and tell me what you think about this, one of the things that people don't understand is they know how to invest potentially, but they don't know how to execute a trade, and therefore may get into the stock at the wrong price.
Well, I mean, it's a totally different ball game. I mean, trading is a game. Investing is a job. I mean, it's, you know, going out there. I mean, especially you. I mean, it's funny you brought up that you took my classes. A guy like you, been trading for a long time. I mean,
right.
I have people like you all the time that says, I don't need to get educated. And here you are. I mean, if I just taught you one thing, which I know I taught you several different things, but
right.
Just on that one little simple thing changed everything. And, you know, getting back to trading, you know, it's a totally different ballgame. Like for example, like, you know, yesterday I just did a talk show on a talk show out down in Texas, and I do a weekly talk show down there. And they always ask, you know, I always do my picks with them. And they love it, because they've been getting a huge response. I talk about what stocks to trade in the morning. And one of the biggest things that I did yesterday was I shorted Apple. Now, I had Apple as a long-term investment. I loved the company back in February. You could see where it went. It went from 90 to 120. And then, but I got to the point where, you know, buy on rumors, sell on news.
Sure.
Well, news is out. One of the biggest news that we've been waiting for is the new iPhone.
Right.
And, you know, but I didn't trade Apple because, you know, as a trade. I trade as an investor, because I was going out there to go buy a new phone, renew my cell phone contract. I knew the new iPhone was coming out. I'm like, you know what? I'll just wait 6 months until it comes out.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I've been talking about that play for a while. You got two things going on, and not to give away my next blog post, but one of the big things that's happening is the NAND technology. NAND memory is being bought up by Apple all over the place, and we have players like Samsung and SanDisk and Micron Technology that are now going to turn around from having a glut on the market with prices going down to all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute, maybe there's a shortage here. And the second issue is that many of the phone companies are getting hurt by this, and there's been a lot of discussion about the fact, and we're getting a little bit off the topic here, but a lot of discussion about Many of the phone companies like Sprint, let's say, or anybody not AT&T is hurting right now because everybody's waiting for the iPhone to see what it's going to do. And anybody that's going to renew a contract is saying, you know what, I'm going to wait a little while. I'm just going to wait a little while and I'm going to see what happens. So
that was me.
So yeah, Apple is, I mean, it's an amazing thing. So, okay. So let's talk about how you every single morning set up to trade. What do you do? What's your routine?
Well, my routine is, once again, I don't think as an investor at all. I mean, once you think as an investor, you're going to lose. One of my mentors, when I first started, always taught me, says, Fausto, once you think you know something about the stock market, you're going to lose, and you're going to lose a lot. Don't know anything. Just follow the trend. Don't screw around. Just look what's going on in the market. Play what's for the play for the day, and that's it. I mean, the bottom line is the reason why you're here is to make a day's pay. This is a job. This is what you're here for. You're not looking to say, oh, I made, 25% of my money over the year. You know, people always tell me that. I'm like, well, 25% of what? Would you put $5,000 into it? Would you make yourself, $1,500?
Right.
That's not what it's about.
Right.
You know?
It's a daily grind. Day trading is a daily grind.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And one of the biggest things I always teach my students, and it's not that hard. I kind of teach something more or less like the $200 day trader, where it's like, you could be a typical person who works 9 to 5 and make $200 a day, it's $52,000 a year, or you could do a trading, and it's not that hard to do. It's buying 1,000 shares of stock and making 20 cents. So what I'm trying to do is I'm going out there trying to find stocks in the morning that to help to make, a client's day's pay. Now, obviously everyone's pockets are different, yours and mine and everyone else's. Some need us maybe a lot more, some of us, I mean, we can make even a lot less than that. But to do that, I'll set up my execution system, I'll get ready first thing in the morning. I'll usually start around 7:45, maybe 8:45. That's Eastern Standard Time, about 45 minutes before the market starts. Like I said, early bird gets a worm. You'll see what's trading. You'll see volume. Remember the ECNs, the electron. The markets in most people's eyes think they open up at 9:30. That's not the case. The markets open up at 7:30 because there's some pre-market trading where the ECN markets open up. And I'm looking for stocks that have volume. And one of the most important tools to have on your execution system is a top 10 list, which is going to show you the biggest percentage gainers, losers, winners, volume leaders. And I'll just start scanning my way through there, and I'll see what's hot. Regardless of what they're talking about TV, regardless about spending money on new services, I don't know how to interpret that. I mean, I hear companies come out with great news and they end up opening lower. I mean, I'm not an analyst, man.
Right.
Whatever. One thing that you learn as being a trader is stocks go up due to supply and demand. That's it.
Well, one of the things I think you deal with every day is the whole idea of, I talk about this all the time, behavioral finance. Really, what you're looking to do is capitalize on what other people are thinking, how they're moving the stock, what their belief is. Because the fact is, as a day trader, you don't care if the stock goes up or it goes down. The only thing you don't want to do is go sideways.
I'm going to be in cash. I just don't want a sideways stock.
Right.
I can't sit there and sit in traffic all day. I mean, I want to be in the high speed. I want to just find that, just jump on and jump off,
Right.
And just jump on that one little ride. And there are over 4,000 stocks out there, but there are only about 10 or 20 of them that are going to be the easiest and most comfortable stocks to trade
right.
to do that. So it's not a hard thing to do. It's just, as your listeners are probably figuring out, the hardest thing to do is try to block out being an investor, and try to think as a trader,
right?
And just try to make that day's pay.
Yeah. So listen, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, what I want to talk about is some of the rules. I know you have some very, very clear cut rules. I want to talk about the rules. Who is this for? How you do it? And maybe how do you get started? So stick around. We're going to be back in 30 seconds, and we're going to talk to Fausto Puglisi from CyberTrader University, and we're going to talk about how you can actually make some money doing this. We'll have a lot of information on the show notes, how to get in touch with Fausto and his firm and how to do it, and tell you some more things that are coming up. So stick around on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
If you like what you hear, we want to know. Go to our show's listing on either iTunes or your favorite podcast directory and leave us feedback and a rating. The more feedback we have, the higher our position on the charts. Think of it as the price of admission. It only takes a minute and helps us understand more about what interests you. Keep our blog and podcast popular, and we'll keep providing you with great investment ideas.
Hey, gang. Andrew Horowitz here. And do you have a question that you would like us to answer on an upcoming episode? Well, all you have to do is submit that question at the blog site, which is www.thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog. Submit your question in what we call the mailbag, and we'll be sure to answer it very, very soon. All right, so we're back with Fausto Puglisi from Schreiber Trader University. And first of all, do me a favor, Fausto, give me, we're going to put it on the show notes, but give me the exact URL. How do they get in touch with your firm?
They can go to cybertradinguniversity.com or there's a short one is ctucorp.com.
Yep, ctucorp.com. I'll put it all in the show notes, but I think sure. People are probably interested in that. So we promised before we took that quick break that we could talk about some of the rules and who is it for, how to get in, what's the risk. So let's quickly run down. What are some of the basic rules that you have to live by when you're doing day trading?
Well, obviously, the one of the major rules as a day trader is exactly what the word means, day trade. Day trade means you're in and out the same day. And that was one of the biggest failure rates back in 2000. A lot of people wanted to get into day trading when the direct access boom was around, or the internet boom. And when everybody tried to get into direct access, people said, oh, I'm a day trader. But technically, they weren't day trading. They were swing trading. They were doing both.
Right.
And day trading means you get in and out the same day, and that's it. Number one major rule, one of the cardinal rules, is you never hold overnight positions.
Never.
That's the rule.
Never.
Never.
Because
ever.
So there you are, and you have a trade, and you open up a trade. Let's say it's a small trade, and you did a $10,000 trade, and you're down $400, let's just say, by the end of the day, because for whatever reason, you got in the wrong time, the market turned against you, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I think the market's going to turn around tomorrow. I think the stock is going to do well. It's oversold. I'm heading towards 4 o'clock. I'm down $400. What do I do?
They want to hold.
They want to hold, right?
You know, the bottom line is they don't want to take a loss.
Right.
That's what it is.
So what ends up usually happening? And what ends up usually happening?
What ends up happening is, listen, there's a reason why the stock is down, that you're losing money in it. Obviously, there's not a demand for it. What ends up happening is, and I could give you multiple stocks right now because I've been watching them forever, especially some of these pharmaceutical companies, because they don't come back. You'll come up next morning, you think you're down 400. Next thing you wake up tomorrow morning, you're down, you know, you're down 4,000. If you knew that, you probably took a 400.
Right. It's the hardest thing to do, right? The hardest thing. And first of all, I think it's an admission of that you made a problem. But I think what people get lost in is that, you know what? Tomorrow's another day. Just chalk it up as one day, move on. You'll make the money back. But trying to make your money back on that stock and trying to get back on that stock, it's almost this emotional game that you're going to get back at that stock at any cost. And that's where the mistakes are made.
You're never going to win. Yeah. You're never going to win. It's taking the death toll right there.
Right.
And actually, there's another, which leads into the next one, the second biggest cardinal rule that you never do, is average down.
Ah.
That's the second one. Those are the two biggest killers of where people lose all their money in the stock market. They don't want to take a loss, so they hold an overnight position. Or they say, you know what, I'll average down, I'll buy more here. Now you're risking twice as much as you wanted to before, and
right. That's
the next biggest mistake.
I got to tell you, I mean, you know, with all the respect, you're the king of this, in my opinion, truly. But I've made most of my money on picking up positions when they're moving down, when people are selling it really hard. We get that dip somewhere in the 11 to 12 o'clock range, and then even if I'm losing money, looking at the charts and trying to be objective about it, and just hitting it really hard when it bottoms out, and then. Usually, again, this is, we could go over this back and forth, I'm sure, but usually what I find is that there is a pop somewhere during the day, and I'm glad that I did that, and I make my money back plus some more. But I understand the point that you don't want to chase. That's where I've seen people left and right. We know a guy together that chases all the time, and he always loses when he chases.
Well, you got to remember, your style of trading works good for you because that you found a niche that worked good for you.
Right.
Yeah, and you're not doing the typical day trading what you do. A lot of people are trying to, they don't even have a direction.
Right.
They don't even know if they want a day trader, if they want to be a swing trader, or they want to be a little bit of an investor or so on. They haven't tested all the waters to understand what's comfortable for them. There's a certain breed to do what you do.
Right.
And a certain comfort zone that you want, that you can do, and you have a certain mentality to do it. So you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I could say I never, ever average down. I have averaged down, but probably less than 1% of my trades.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so that's well, every 100 trades I do, it's one trade.
Remember something also. There's a big difference. When I'm trading, I'm usually trading for a bucket of client accounts because when I utilize the discipline of day trading and I break up all my trading into swing trading, day trading, long-term buy and holds, and I think that, we can go into all the different disciplines that I utilize. This is just one core component. But when I do so, I'm opening up large trades. I mean, these are not your typical $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 trades. We're talking $1 to $2 million trades on the day trade. I'm using multiple client accounts, and we're trading into a stock. And you know, I got to be careful because sometimes I end up moving the market on a stock, and I got to be very careful about that. I'm the big guy. You know, there was half a million shares traded, and I'm in for 40 or 50,000 shares. You got to be very careful with that. But at the same time,
20-30% of the float.
Right. I mean, you got to be very. It's a whole different animal in what I'm talking about as a professional, quote unquote. But when you're dealing with an individual, I think you're exactly right. You start chasing, averaging down, holding overnight, getting emotional, and isn't that the big issue? Isn't that where the flaw is, that people get emotional with their trading?
You know, a lot of my students, you know, I tell my students, and this goes to everybody, and I tell everyone, the biggest, most important thing you ever could do is get yourself educated, okay?
Right.
That is, and what happens, like, what you're bringing up is, but I'm just telling you, even students that take in my class, I tell them, you're not all going to succeed, because it's something that is the most hardest thing for me to teach, and I have a whole lesson on it that I teach in my class. Is discipline, and all I could do is scare you. I could give you certain piece of post-its that come with the lesson plan. You can post on your computer, and all this. But you know, it's like saying get married. You know, I tell everyone, I use this metaphor all the time in my classes. You know, marriage is great. It's the best thing in the world. But the bottom line is, did you marry the first person you met?
Right.
You know, because when you marry somebody, it's not about you know, all the little things, the great thing come with it. It's the big things. The big things are, could you deal with the person for the next 50 years? Do you want to have kids with this person? Could you deal with this person's debt? Could you deal with this person's family issues? Everything. There's a lot that comes along. There's a lot of baggage. You know, my priest always told me, you know, that it's a corporation. It's two corporations merging together. So it's a big difference getting married.
Right.
You know, it's a business decision.
Well, mine was more of a takeover than a merger. No, I'm kidding. Hey, let me switch over. Okay. I want to ask you something. You know, one of the things that has been bothering me, or it's really been a thorn in my side, I don't want to mention any names. I wrote about it in my upcoming book, The Disciplined Investor, because I've witnessed it personally. There are a lot of companies out there on the infomercials that are talking about how easy trading is, whether it's commodity stocks, even real estate they bring into that discussion. But let's stick with the stock discussion. They say, you know, what you can do is utilize our system. And when our system starts ringing a bell, that's the day to buy the stock. That's the moment to buy the stock. And they have seminars, and they have software, and they have books and information. They have one-on-ones. What troubles me is that people are being sucked into this. Now,
a
black box where they're saying, you know, just buy when we tell you to buy and sell when we tell you to sell. Don't worry about how it all works. Just look at the fancy colors or the sounds. And I have personally witnessed, I talk about this because it was something that was one of those things in life that just sticks with you forever. Someone who was trading this way, they were paper trading for months and months and months. They were making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month by utilizing what we call paper trading or pretend trading or demo trading. And then when they went live, when the first time they went in, they lost $35,000, $40,000 that first month. And they were starting to lose $20,000 the next month. And I said, it was a friend, I said, stop, what are you doing? And we found out what the problem was. It was the execution process. And frankly, I turned them on to you. And I think you straightened them out well. But what is wrong, without mentioning names, what is wrong with that whole type of system?
Well, listen, there's – I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I understand.
It's endless. You know, the thing that you have to remember is everyone has their own style of trading, and there's nothing – you're not going to find something in a black box. Everything is something called the fountain of youth, okay? There's no such thing. You have to take care of yourself. And when you find all these infomercials and this and that, you know, it's nice that they're in the industry and you can see that people have an interest in it, but you also got to be a smart consumer and don't be overwhelmed. I mean, thinking that there's something behind this little black box or something behind this color scheme on this video game that they're trying to sell you is going to do it. That's why, you know, gotta remember, I come back from old school. You know, I'm very young, but I'm probably the oldest person in the industry because I'm one of the original day traders that started it. And a lot of these people that you're seeing today, you know, basically, you know, did what I did, and they found a little loophole, and they went and they ran with the market.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, you have to they're not going to be there every day for you.
Right.
You have to be there and realize, mm-hmm. you know, what it's like. I mean, here you have some color coming up on the screen, and the bottom line is, you could figure out yourself just knowing where the supply and demand is. You don't need something to tell you that. And who say that's going to be right? You know what the major, major problem about all those things?
What?
They're lagging. Mm. They're lagging. And what happens is, you know, one thing that I teach is, you see, they'll teach you how to buy into demand and sell to supply.
Right.
Obviously, you can't win that way.
Right.
What I teach is how to buy into supply and sell into demand.
Right. What's the concept of buying high and selling? It's buying high, selling low, or the opposite. What would you rather do? I mean, I'm not buying high, selling low. I want to buy low, sell high. And
exactly.
What they do is it's brilliant. Actually, I'll be honest with you, it's brilliant what they've done, because they've turned it looks to me like just a MACD, a moving average convergence divergence indicator. They've taken that, which shows when there is this supply demand in this inequity in supply and demand, and turned it into a buy and a sell signal on its own, when everybody knows that that may work for certain stocks. But when you do back testing on this, and you could do this with many of the software programs out there, that it works sometimes, not all the time. And usually when the signal does come, people have to look, they're late. And I know another gentleman, I'll tell you another story, he decides, you know, he's going to do it to play around. You know, his game, his play has cost him $10,000 a year, every year for the last like 3 or 4 years, in not only trading, but the cost to trade, because the costs are not cheap.
So, and then you got to buy the system.
Right. Well, and then you got to buy into the system. You got to keep up with the system and all that. I'm getting a little physically nauseous from this, to be honest with you, because it really does bother me. And I find it to be, I find it to be the biggest sham. And I know that there are, without again mentioning names, that there are a lot of lawsuits out there, because they did do almost to the point of guaranteeing returns. So showing people how easy it was. And I think it's a very.
Let me tell you something. If anyone ever in your life ever guarantees something, I learned even in the brokerage business. If anyone ever said that word guarantee,
run.
You better run as far as you can. There is no such. Actually, you know what? There's only two things in life that are guaranteed. Okay?
Yes.
It's death and taxes.
Right.
You always pay taxes, and one day you will die.
Right.
That
right.
I'll guarantee.
I hear you.
But if anyone ever tells you that, you better run as far as you can.
So to trade, what do you think is the right number? I mean, there is maybe no right number, but what is the amount of money you need to have an account to do effective day trading, even to start? Nothing extravagant, just to start.
You know, listen, you know, I'll keep going back to 2000, but, you know, back then the stocks were $100, $200, $500. A lot of these stocks are now back to single digits.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of money to trade. People think, like, you need a lot. You're a different story, but most people think, oh, you know, you need a lot of money to do this. I mean, you don't need as much as you think.
Right.
You know, with the four-time buying power, I mean, $10,000. I mean, if you're looking to make your day's pay, you're $200 a day. But a $10,000 account, you get four times buying power. You could buy it to a $40 stock. In my classes, I refuse to even trade anything over $20, $30. I teach people how to trade stocks, you know, $2, $5. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about one right now. I mean, I'm having all my students right now trade a stock. Stock right now is BRLC. I don't know if you want to look at it. This is one of the stock picks I found this morning at 8:30. It was $4.75. It backed off, you know, at 9:30 at the open was at 4.95. Right now it's at 5.14. It's still going higher.
Yeah.
Now, if you do the math, if you were trying to make your $60,000 a year, and you were looking, to, you know, which is, comes out to roughly about $200 a day, right there, if you were bought it at the morning at 4.95 and you sold it right now at 5.14, you made your $200 for the day.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yep. And then today, trading fees are so low these days. I know that you can get them as low as $7, $8, $9, $10, $12 per trade, and that doesn't add up to a lot when you really put it all together, versus years ago when it was, you know, $40 and $50 a trade.
Well, back in my day when I was really, really active, I used to do 100, 120 tickets a day, and I used to pay $20, $22 a ticket.
Wow.
And I still made money back then.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Yep.
And you get people cook today. I mean, if I had the ticket, I made brokerage firms so rich, I probably made them maybe $20,000, $30,000 a month in ticket charges
a
month.
Yeah. That was just for you.
I mean, if I had the rate I had today, I would put an extra $250,000 in my pocket.
Right. I hear you. All right. So software. Yeah. Let's just take 2 minutes on software, and then I'm going to tell everybody that Faust and I have actually teamed up. We're going to do some On the Disciplined Investor website, what we're going to have is, from time to time, Faust is actually going to give us a play-by-play technical analysis in video style that's going to be right on the site when we review a stock or a market, and he's going to kind of do some training and have that right available for you. So that's going to be great. I think it's really going to be well-received. People have asked me oftentimes on how to do that. Let me skip over to the last point I want to make here, or question I want to ask really is that if you could design who this is really for and who it's not for. I mean, is there somebody that wants to do it that should not be thinking about doing this?
Yes. I mean, and obviously the only way to really, really answer that question is that person has to get himself to force him to take my class, but honestly, if they took the class, 50% of my students thought they want to go this hardcore and decide it's not for them.
Right.
Because they realize they might not have the time to do it. They realize they don't have the discipline to do it. They finally realize that, you know, they don't have enough, don't have the money to do it, or it's not enough money for them to make. They want to do something different.
Right. And it's not easy. It's not easy. It is work. It's not that you're not going to just make money overnight and just be, you know, incredibly wealthy and just, I mean, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some learning. It's going to take some processing. It's going to take some understanding of the markets.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Little learning curve that comes along with it. People don't like that.
Right.
It is, but I'll tell you one thing. It is very simple to trade. People make it more complicated than what it really is. Trading is not hard at all. That's the funny part. With the hard, you know, but it's not the hard part is that it's not easy to be disciplined enough. That's where the failure rate comes in.
Right.
But to know which clients that customers think it's for them or not, like I said, it's kind of hard to say. Everyone has a very different, unique situation.
Right.
You know, I teach more, you know, old school where we became very successful. Then you had other people coming in there and started implementing some of their styles. I don't teach any specific style. I kind of just teach strictly, you know, being here in New York and working hand in hand with the top market makers in the industry. I just teach how they make their money. And you know, bottom line is they're the most successful, wealthiest individuals. So, I mean, and then believe me, what they do is not complicated. They're monitoring 60 to 100 stocks at one time.
Wow.
I'm just teaching you how to monitor one, and you make your day pay.
Exactly. It's a whole different animal.
I think, you know what, the hardest part is, Andrew?
What's that?
Is that sometimes it's so easy to make it, people just say, oh, like right now with this one stock that we looked at, you know, people will be like, oh, wow, I'm done in 15 minutes.
And then take the rest of the day off. That's nice.
You can. That's
right, I understand.
That's the great part. Done.
Right, right.
So people are like, well, it's so easy. What am I going to do? It's only 9:45.
Long lunch.
You know what I used to do? I used to go see matinees.
Oh, really?
I used to purposely make sure, what was I going to do? I mean, I had to do something to get out to do something.
Right. You didn't want to stay there because who knows what you're going to open up in a trade. All right, listen, let's end it with that. And thank you. Again, on the show notes, I'm going to give everybody the information on how they can take your class and make sure that everybody does come back to the Disciplined Investor site. So, Fausto, you know, what we talked about before the show is that you're going to give away the introduction course, which is a 3-day course on day trading for my listeners. If they go to the special website with the code that we've put in, that you're going to give away this totally for free, so they can actually access your free introductory course on day trading. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that on the site, and there'll be instructions. Go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Go to the free trading course. You'll have some information right in the show notes, and I'll put it in the right sidebar so it's permanent there until the course goes in the mid part of June. And that's going to be great. So it's totally free, right?
It's a free. Just look for that link. I'll say a $1,000 course.
Wow.
For free. And remember, it's a live class. It's not a recording. This is with me personally. I'm going to be able to answer all your questions. It's through WebEx technology. We've been doing it for 7 years now on the system. We basically helped pioneer the online webinar technology, and you know, and the reason why we do it, it's a lot less expensive, and you have to intervene.
Well, I appreciate it, because I mean, I'm always trying to make sure that people go the right direction, they have the right tools and all that. And by you doing this for me, I really do. I mean, I know it's obviously not the usual in how you do things, but just great how you're going to you know, provide them with this special thing. So anybody that's listening, if you want to take this course, I'll put the notes up. Again, it's going to be on the Disciplined Investor website. And what you can do is just click on the trading course, and it will take you right to the place where you could sign up. And it's totally free when you link through our site. So great. So terrific. Thanks so much for that. And thanks for coming here today. And we're gonna talk real soon. And again, thanks for providing all this to my listeners. It's very much appreciated.
No problem. Anytime, Andrew.
All right. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
another great edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it today. I hope you're staying with me, keeping subscribed, because I have a lot more coming. We have some really exciting things. We're going to start going through the book point by point next podcast, starting with quantitative investing. We have some notes and some posts already on the website, so make sure you go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and check it out, because there's some great starting points, some great screening using the MSN Money tools to do some quantitative investing, to uncover some really good stocks, some great gems that you may not have found before. One of the biggest questions you have all the time is, how do I find a stock? Well, it's right there for you at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Great tool for you. In addition, don't forget to go to the site, thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Right on the front page, you're going to find a link to Cyber Trading University classes, where you can just fill out a quick form and get yourself a free course with Fausto Puglisi. I think that's going to be something that's going to be very beneficial to you. So make sure to go there quickly, because the show is, or the class is starting really soon. So you can do that and hopefully get on your way to some successful day trading. Thanks again for being with me. This is Andrew Horowitz signing off on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in, and be sure to subscribe.